Welcome to Encompass Church Podcast. We are so glad you've joined us today. To share your story of what God has been doing in you and through you, take a moment to email us at amen@encompass.org.au. Enjoy today's message.
All right, anyway, you ready for the word this morning? Let's go. Let me pray and then let's get into it. Heavenly Father, we just declare, we know that you are here in this place. So right now, let faith rise and Lord, let our expectation rise for you to move, for you to speak, and for you to touch every person here. Meet us where we're at in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So a few years ago, we were doing, it was just out of COVID, and we were doing a project, a renovation in the foyers here at the church. Some of you would know, we used to just have tiles, grey tiles in the church, and all across 750 square metres of the foyer. And unfortunately, those tiles became redundant, and so we couldn't actually replace the tiles whenever they got cracked. So there would be like random tiles. So we said, hey, you know what's a great idea? I think it was Alyssa's idea. She said, you know what's a great idea? She said, let's polish the concrete and like, let's take up all the tiles. And here being a willing, you know, servanthood husband, I said, yeah, that's a great idea. And so we convinced Pastor John to do it. And then all of a sudden, here we were a few weeks into this project, okay? And I don't know if you remember that there was dust everywhere. There was cracked tiles everywhere, et cetera, et cetera. It was on track. It was on budget. Everyone was feeling good. G-O-O-D. It was so good. But then, everyone say, but then. But then something unexpected happened. Due to a range of circumstances, we actually, the costs of this project increased. We literally had to change the project manager or the person working on it. We had to actually change in that space. And the project cost increased by like 30 or nearly 40%. It was scary, right? And I don't know about you, but we're a church, again, we like to be transparent, but we also like to be good stewards of the finances. And this project that was going so well, it was going so good, it was under budget. All of a sudden, like, it's not going so well. It's over budget, and this guy's panicking. Two reasons why I'm panicking, because Pastor John's on holidays at this time. I'm like, where's this guy? And he's like, I don't want to be contacted. I'm like, all right, I got you. And then not only is he on leave, but like now I've got to send an email to the board to explain that the costs have kicked out. And you got to understand, I take some of the board members are starting to look going, where are you going with this? Just calm down, guys. So what happened was, as I said, I take the finances of our church quite seriously. And I'll be honest, I was so disappointed that this was taking place. I was gutted that this was taking place. So I write this very, like, not emotional email, but factual email. And I said, I am so sorry. These costs have just kicked out. And I kind of just press sent and close my eyes. And I just said, let's just go into the universe of board members and see what happens. And the responses started to come in. Now, again, I'm a little bit concerned of their responses at this point. This is one of their emails. I actually looked it up. It was in 2022. Calm down, Loxley. It's fine. It's a fine email. It's a fine email. We will not be naming any names of these emails. The board is still the same from back then to today. Just in case you're like going, how many of them left during this time? You're crazy. Anyway, here's one. You can't foresee these things, Jace. Looks like we tried to be prudent at first, but it's all good. God bless. See you later. That's a good board member right there. Number two is renos are always hard to estimate. He or she went on to say, keep up the good work. I'm like, I thought I kind of got it wrong. Anyway, moving on. Another person said, boards love, this is Pastor John saying this, okay? He goes, boards love truthful facts and humility. Just keep going, let's go. And I'll be honest with you, I was floored by their response. Because to be honest, I expected a little bit of like a little bit of frustration. Maybe like a little bit of moments of criticism or maybe even a little bit of correction. But instead, I got grace. I even got encouragement in this moment. I kind of got people that said, hey, we are with you 100%. I got understanding in this moment. Isn't it amazing how we can assume one response but receive something completely different? And I believe that this is sometimes our position with God. is that we can assume his response in certain areas of our life. But to be honest, I want to share with you this morning that his response to us will be quite surprising at times. Today, I want to talk about, this is the title of my message, is that Jesus and his surprising response, watch this, to our doubt. Jesus and his surprising response to our doubt. Because some of us think that he might become angry and distant when we doubt. Some of us might think he condemns us or even is silenced in our doubt. But surprisingly, and to know the answer very quickly now, surprisingly, he meets us with grace, compassion, and open arms when we are doubting him. Today, maybe you walked in with misconceptions going, you know what, Jace, I don't believe that I can ask questions to God. Like, I don't think I can come to him like that. I want to tell you today that he meets you with compassion. Some of you are going, hey, I don't think I can share honestly with him. I don't know if I can share my fears, my concerns, my questions, my thoughts. I don't know if I can do that honestly with him. Can I tell you something? He receives you just the way you are, and he meets you with open arms. I want to encourage you that God can handle your doubt. God can handle your doubt. Let me just unwrap this for a few moments, because let's talk about doubt for a moment, because not all doubt is the same. You got to clarify this for a moment. Not all doubt is the same. Let me look at two passages of scripture really briefly right now in Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. And what's happened here is that Jesus was hungry and he walks to a fig tree looking for fruit. And there's no fruit on this fruit tree. And all of a sudden he actually says, hey, this thing just needs to shrivel up and die. And immediately this tree shrivels up and dies. And the disciples are going, how did you do that? And this is Jesus' response. Jesus said, if you have faith and do not doubt. Everyone say, do not doubt. If you have faith and do not doubt, you can say to this mountain, go to the sea and it will be done. James chapter 1 verse 6 says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. These verses are actually warning us about a specific type of doubt here. The Greek word for doubt here used in these two verses is diakrino. Everyone say diakrino. Now say yasu. That was a joke, ain't it? Diakrino, yasu, Greeks. Anyway, moving on. But this word actually means to divide and to separate. So this doubt here is actually talking about a double-minded doubt. It is a doubt that drifts. Everyone say drifts. It's a doubt that drifts away from God. What does it sound like to have this sort of doubt? Well, it's things like this. It's saying, hey, praying for something, but or not even praying for something. You come to the services, you walk in, and when they're saying pray for something, you're going, oh, God's not going to do anything anyway. That's that sort of doubt. It's the sort of doubt that kind of says things like, you know what, if you don't answer this prayer, I'm out of this thing. This thing called faith, I'm out. It's giving him ultimatums like that. It's saying things like, God, you're so good. God, you're so great. You worship, we pour out our praise. But then secretly and privately, you say things like, God, you're punishing me for this. That is not the heart of the Father for you. This is a divided doubt. It's saying things like, I know Jesus is asking me to serve right now. I know Jesus is asking me to give right now. I know Jesus is asking me to forgive that person. But you know what? I think my way is better than his way. This is like a GPS, putting a destination into a GPS and refusing to follow it. It is a split. It's splitting yourself in half. And it's to say that it is a drifting doubt. Everyone say drifting doubt. But then there is a doubt that draws you closer to Jesus. There is a doubt that draws you closer. And this is the kind of doubt that Jesus welcomes. Let me tell you, it's not the absence of faith. It is the space where faith is refined. Let me say that again. It's not this sort of doubt, the one that draws you closer to Jesus, is not an absence faith, but it is the space where faith is refined. It's the kind of doubt that wrestles honestly with God. It asks questions. It acknowledges fear. But most importantly, it is anchored in Jesus. Most importantly, this sort of doubt draws you close to Jesus. Why? Because it is anchored in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 6, it says, we have this hope, an anchor for our soul, which is firm and secure. Our anchor always needs to be in Jesus. You can ask all the questions you want, but make sure that you stay in Jesus. You can wrestle with him. You can say, I'm upset, I'm angry, I'm so annoyed that this is happening in my life. But be anchored in him, our hope, who is firm and secure. Would you say amen? Amen. Healthy doubt is anchored in Christ. And I pray that we will be a church. I pray that we will be a generation that is anchored in Jesus. So how does Jesus respond to our doubt? We're just going to briefly look at three stories in the Bible. We're going to learn from John the Baptist today, who asked a lot of questions at an interesting time. We're going to talk about Thomas, who asked Jesus to prove himself. How daring. How dare you, Thomas? Anyway, moving on. And then a father in need who had fragile faith. Are you ready this morning? Number one, this is what we can learn. We can learn from John the Baptist that Jesus answers our questions with truth and testimony. Some of you have got questions for God today. Let me tell you something. Jesus answers our questions with his truth, his word, and testimony. Here we have John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11, and he's in prison. And what's happening here is that prior to this, let me tell you something. John the Baptist was the guy that baptized Jesus. He baptized it. He saw the Spirit of God come upon Jesus like a dove, and literally he heard the voice of the Father say, this is my Son in whom I love and who I'm well pleased with. John the Baptist was a type of guy, when he first saw Jesus, he pointed at him and said, this is the one that will save all people. This is the one who will remove all sins for mankind. This is God's chosen one, he says. And here he is in prison questioning Jesus. This is what it says. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the great things Jesus was doing for everyone else. How he blessed that person with a husband and you're still single. How he blessed that other person's business, but not your business. How he gave that other person a job, but not you. He heard about all the great things that were taking place in everyone else's life. And he sent this question to Jesus. He said, are you the Messiah, the one we've been expecting? Or should we be looking for someone else? You see, John here was just comparing his circumstances. He's going, wait a second. If I'm hearing all these amazing things, and if Jesus is who he says he is, why am I stuck here? Why am I in this prison? Anyone ever felt like that before? Like, why am I in this? Let me tell you something. If you've ever been in a trial or a circumstance, if you've ever felt like God is not responding or God isn't there, let me tell you something. You are in good company. John is good company, I think. You know, it's like when my daughter Amara, even this morning, I think it was, she yells out from her bed. Maybe this was yesterday. And she goes, Daddy! And she's clearly maybe had a nightmare, or maybe Harley's had a nightmare. One of those kids have had something. And when I hear her, I don't always hear her all the time. Alyssa is the better hearer while we're sleeping, et cetera, et cetera. Any other husbands? Yeah, anyway, moving on. Let's just work on it together, guys. Anyway, sometimes Alyssa will be like, your children are yelling for you. I say, yes, ma'am. But the thing is, when Amara yells, Daddy, Dad, Dad, I don't yell back going, hey, what do you want? Why are you doing that? No, I run towards her. I move towards her and I actually comfort her in that moment. Let me tell you something. When she does those sorts of things, I actually make sure I'm close to her in with my presence. In the same way, when you ask questions with God, when you call out to him, he does not go, why are you asking those questions, John? But he draws towards you. He draws towards you. So this is Jesus' response with truth and testimony. He says, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. Go back to John and tell him what you've seen and heard. Tell him that the blind see when I'm around, that the lame walk, that the leprosy, that the ones with leprosy are cured, that the deaf hear, that the dead are raised to life. and that the good news is preached to the poor. Let me tell you something. Whatever prison you feel like you're in today, I want to tell you something. God can handle your questions. He can handle your cries. He can handle your thoughts. And his response is truth and testimony. For the person that is asking the question, God, will you provide for me? Will you provide for me? Let me tell you something. If he dresses the lilies with splendor, if he cares for the wild flowers, he will care for you. Come on. If he produced manna from heaven on a daily for the Israelites, he can provide for you. For when this widow was at death's doorstep, if he provided oil for her over and above, he can provide for you. Some of you are going, oh, the maths doesn't work out for me, as in the circumstances, the finances, the provision required doesn't add up. Well, listen, if he can feed 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fish, he can come through for you. Would you say amen? Amen. Can I just ask, how many people can testify here of God's provision in their lives? Come on, look around. If you're not believing today, just look around and see his favor and testimony. Maybe some of you are asking, God, are you even there? Like, as in, are you with me here or not? This is what it says in 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive. Everyone say attentive. They are attentive to their prayers. Let me tell you something. He hears every word that you say. If you could listen to Jonah in a big whale, he can listen to you. Some of you may be asking, God, are you going to make a way where there's no way? What does it say in Romans chapter 8, verse 28? That we know that in all things, everyone say all things. All things, God works for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He made a way through the Red Sea. He allowed the Israelites to walk over dry land. When Joseph's brothers betrayed him, what took place? Is that he thought he was doomed and dead. But years later, he was able to turn to his brothers and say, hey, what you meant for evil, God turned it for good. Some of you are stuck in a circumstance right now and you're going, God, are you going to give me a way out? And the answer is yes. He can and he will. Jesus answers our questions with truth and testimony. The other thing is when we ask for proof, the second point is when we ask for proof, Jesus offers his presence. When we ask for proof, Jesus offers his presence. This is what it says in John chapter 20, verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, he wasn't with the disciples when they saw him resurrected from the grave. And they were telling Thomas, they're saying, hey, we have seen the Lord. And this is Thomas's response in this moment. And if you're named Thomas today, God bless you. Anyway, but this is what he said. He says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands. So I know you've seen him, guys, but I'm not believing till I have one of those encounters that everyone else has. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in, and so he's going to go, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, unless I'm able to touch him on his side, I will not believe. I will not believe. A week later, this is the very next verse. A week later, the disciples were in the house and Thomas was with them. I just want to stop here for a moment. A week later, isn't it interesting? Just before this, Thomas is going, I will not believe unless Jesus proves himself. And 1 week later, where is Thomas? He didn't leave the church. Thomas didn't leave the faith in that time. Thomas didn't walk away. What did he do? He stayed with the saints. He stayed with the community of believers, expecting. And a week later, after he said, unless I touch his hands, unless I touch his side, I will not believe. He stayed in faith. His anchor was still in Jesus. His anchor was still in Jesus. Through his questions, he stayed in faith, and through the doors were all locked, and Jesus came and stood among them a week later. And he says this, he says, peace be with you. Where's Thomas? Let me find him now. Let's talk. Peace be with you. Where's Thomas? And he meets Thomas exactly where he wanted to be meted. He doesn't ask any questions going, are you sure, Thomas? Let me pastorally care for you. He goes, hey, touch my hands. touch my side. Now believe. Encounter me. Come and draw closer to me. You know what? When we ask God for proof, when we ask Jesus for proof, Jesus offers his presence. Some of you are sitting here and you're going, listen, I just want a little bit of proof today. Let me tell you something. He will encounter you with his presence today if you'll be open for him to move. Thomas followed Jesus for 3 years. You can't be down like this if you're following Jesus for 3 years. Think about this. He was there when Lazarus was resurrected from the dead. He was the one who said to the disciple, he goes, listen, I've seen this. Like, I've seen Lazarus rise up. You know what? I'll die with this guy. And here he was going, no, I just need a bit more proof. This is the wrestle and the journey that God takes us on. And this is what shows us that Jesus can handle our doubts. But there is a doubt that drifts you away from him. But let me tell you something. There is a doubt that draws you closer to him. And we just got to embrace it. He doesn't meet Thomas with judgment once again. Or he doesn't meet him with, hey, did you not see me? Did you not see what I did to Lazarus, bro? As if I can't do it for myself. Bros, what's going on? He didn't say that. He met him with compassion. He reached out. And he had an encounter with Jesus. You know, in the same way, I believe that Jesus wants to meet us today. He will respond with his presence for many today. He says, draw close to him and he will draw close to you. Can I tell you something? God is not shy. He will reveal himself and he will show himself to you if you desire it. Gideon asked for many signs in Judges 6, and every time God showed up. Think about this, is that Moses asked, what if the people don't believe me? What if my friends and family don't believe me? What did God give him? He gave him 3 signs, multiple signs. You know, in this season where Alyssa and I, we're kind of casting vision for the future, when you start talking about million-dollar projects and stuff, I'm just letting you know I'm scared. Just if you want to know the heart of your pastor, I'm scared. Because it's scary putting out this sort of vision and I'm constantly saying to God, would you show us a sign? Would you give us confirmation that we're on the right track? And even in these last 3 months, I've said to God, if this is not of you, just remove it. Stop it, block it, do what you gotta do. God, if we're not doing things the way you want us to do things, hey, I'm out. Like, as in, just help me out here and just show me that it's not the way. But if it's not, if it's true, if we're supposed to be going in this direction, would you give me a sign? Everyone say, give me a sign. Give me a sign, Jesus. And can I tell you something? Every time I've asked for a sign, God's come through. Every time I've said, God, would you confirm this? Would you give me peace? He has come through and he's confirmed it. There is many people in the room and you have a significant decision ahead of you. I want to encourage you to ask God to show up. Ask God for confirmation. Ask God for proof and a sign. Ask for his peace. Ask for wisdom. When we ask for proof, Jesus offers his presence. Finally, and this is the last point, and I'm just letting you know it's 10 o'clock and I'm right on track, guys. I'm just saying. The last thought, and there's some steps to follow this. I'm going to, worship team, just because I probably won't remember this, maybe come up in about 3 minutes. Is that okay, Pat? 4 minutes if you want, but 3 minutes I can handle. Anyway, this is the last point. When our faith is fragile, Just working it out as we go, guys. When our faith is fragile, Jesus still moves in power. When our faith is fragile, Jesus still moves in power. I'm just letting you know right now that today there's an altar call at the end. I just want to start preparing your hearts now. And there are some needs in the room, and I want you to start preparing to come forward. Some of you need a bit more time to process the idea of leaving your seat. I'm giving it to you now. God bless you all. Anyway. Here we have this father with a son who is demon-possessed. And in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, it says, Jesus said to him, if you believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out, and with tears in his eyes, he said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people coming towards him, he spoke to the child, he spoke to the demon and said, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out from him and do not leave him, do not enter him again. What can we learn from this father? What can we learn from John the Baptist? What can we learn from Thomas? Is that Jesus does not require our perfect faith. He requires, though, our honest faith. He does not require you to skip through, you know, like some things or jump through holes, whatever those terminologies are. But all he requires us to do is to be honest with him. Once again, he does not rebuke the Father. He does not push this Father away. Can I say, Jesus' power is not hindered by this sort of faith. But Jesus still moves powerfully. God does not need you to put on a show today. He does not need you to praise and worship like the person next to you. He does not need you to put on your best faith church outfit. You know what I'm saying? And kind of, but all he wants you to do is come to him honestly. Everyone say honestly. He wants you to come to him honestly. This is what it says in Psalms, is that God delights in our truth, in our transparency and our vulnerability with him. Psalms also says to pour your hearts out to him and he will hear you. Psalm 139 says that you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and you know when I rise. It goes on to say that even when before a word even leaves my lips, you know everything that's about to come out. And some of you are going, well, if he knows all that, why do I need to say it? If he knows my heart, if he knows what I'm thinking, if he knows what's... Well, his desire is not just to heal you, but his desire is relationship. He desires to commune with you, to communicate with you, to talk with you, for him to share his heart with you and for you to share yours with him. He wants to be close to you. This is what it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. I am at the door and I knock. Anyone who allows me to enter, I will sit with them. I will talk with them. I will eat with them. Let me tell you something. Whenever we have fragile faith, let me confirm with you this morning that Jesus can still move in power. But all we need to do is come to him honestly. Everyone say honestly. Come to him honestly. So how do we approach Jesus this morning? How do we approach him in a setting like this on the fourth day of prayer and fasting? Well, firstly is that you need to bring your attention to your situation to Jesus. You need to bring your situation to Jesus. The Bible says that this father brought, everyone say brought. They brought the boy to Jesus. I have a question for you, church. Where do you bring your problems? Where are you taking your problems? Do you take your problems to your friendship group? They can't help you. Not the way Jesus can help you. Let me tell you something. Are you taking your problems to maybe a coping mechanism or a default relationship? Or maybe you're taking your problems to an addiction that is just, it's just helping you get through it, but it's not the place that you need to bring your situation. Maybe you're bringing your situation to yourself. You just keep it all locked up, all in your heart, and you think you're processing it with Jesus, but you're really not bringing it to him. You're just internally turning into a volcano, and it's about to erupt. Let me tell you something. When your phone's broken, when the screen's cracked, when the operating system's not working, where do you take it? You take it to the manufacturer. You take it to the creator. In the same way, bring your problems, bring your situations to the healer, to the restorer, to the master, to the creator. Bring your situation to Jesus. The Bible says, cast all your burdens on him, for he cares for you. Secondly, is when you come and when you bring your situation to Jesus, be honest with him. Be honest. What does honesty sound like today? Well, you might be sitting in this room and you're saying, Jesus, this guy's talking, I'm nearly convinced, but not really. But I really don't feel you right now. Be honest with him and say, hey, but if you're real, would you meet me where I'm at? That's honestly coming to Jesus. Maybe it's a situation where you're going, listen, I don't know why you're doing this to my family, Jesus. I don't know why this situation is taking place, but I'm scared, I'm angry, I'm disappointed. But would you meet me here? If you can help, and I know, and I believe that you can, would you meet me where I'm at? Or maybe for you it's, I know you have plans for me, Jesus, but I just don't see it right now. Help me to see it, Jesus. Help me to see it. Remember once again that we go and we come to a compassionate God. A God that does not judge us or condemn us, but He shows compassion. He meets us with grace and power. And listen, normally when we invite you up, we kind of say, we'll pray for you, and then you kind of leave. You know, like, it's like, it's very transactional. But today, if you have a situation in your life and you're saying, God, I just need you right now. I need your presence right now. I need your truth. I want to hear your testimony. Lord God, I need your power. Don't make it transactional today. Whether someone prays with you or not, stay in his presence. Persist. Thomas persisted. He stayed a week later. Let me tell you something. When the Father came to Jesus, the disciples had already prayed for him. Think about this for a moment. The disciples prayed and he said, hey, listen, I took my son to the disciples, but nothing happened. Ever been in one of those altar calls? Nothing happened to me. I didn't feel him. But then he stayed. He persisted and he pressed in. Everyone say pressed in. He pressed in until he met with Jesus and received healing. And then finally, whatever takes place this morning, anchor yourself in Jesus. Let your faith be refined, for Jesus is the anchor for our soul. He is firm and secure. Right now, would you stand to your feet? Would you close your eyes in this room? And today, if you have a need in this room, whether it be physical, spiritual, emotional, relational, financial, mental, whatever it may be today, I'm going to ask you firstly, would you just raise your hand right now? There are needs everywhere. There are situations everywhere in this room. All right now, with boldness, I want you to bring it to Jesus. I want you to come to the altar. I want you to come in and just leave your seat. Come on. There were so many hands that went up. Just be bold. Increase the frequency with Jesus right now. Step out. Do not doubt. Remember, you come to Him and He is a compassionate God who meets you honestly and humbly. Beautiful. So now I'm going to encourage you to come to Him honestly. Come to Him with an open heart. And just begin to talk to Him, whether it's a question that you want to ask Him, whether it's a desire in your heart, whether you're like John and saying, God, where are you in my situation? Whether you're like Thomas and you're saying, I just want you to prove yourself to me, Jesus. Whether you're like this Father, and you're saying, I need you to move. I need you to heal me right now.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Encompass Church. If today's message has impacted you and you want to give your life to Jesus, if you need prayer or if you want to get connected to the church, please contact us at office@encompass.org.au. Never miss a moment by following us online. Search for Encompass Church on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.